That was a nice introduction. I don't know that to see if I can measure up to that. That was pretty amazing. I can't even see you with this light. So anyway, I have to tell you, this is probably one of the speeches that I'm almost probably the most nervous about. You guys are not just my peers, but the people that I've looked up to for so many years and that I really, really appreciate and just kind of want to emulate. And so it's really hard for me to imagine that I am, number one, mature enough, and number two, knowledgeable enough to give you guys any tips. But I'm going to try and hopefully tell a few stories and maybe at least entertain you so that you won't fall asleep here before lunch. And I know it's probably a hard place to be as the person right before lunch, so we'll try to keep things moving here. So my speech today, they entitled it Telling Our Story, but I also want to tell you that it's also just about communicating. And I really thought that Chef John was really awesome about many things. I really learned an awful lot from him already. But I think it's about listening as much as we talk and listening to our consumers. You know what, guys? As the person that's driving the tractor, making hay for our cows for the winter, or the person that's out there tagging calves, it's really hard to think about the consumer and the person on the other end. So we need to take time to do that, and I guess that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. So who the heck am I? One of the biggest things that I always say is I'm really nobody special. I am absolutely positively just like you all. I'm a wife, and I get to introduce you to my husband today, who doesn't always get to come, Dwayne. Thank you very much. We're very much, yay, he gets a round of applause. We are really, really lucky. We're partners, and it works very well in our cattle business. You know, when we first got married, and we didn't have kids yet, I was working off-farm, and he works off the farm, and, you know, trying to figure out how everything was going to work out. And then we got pregnant with our first kid, and we realized it would be okay if somebody stayed home, and I would love to do that. And as, if you know my parents, you know that my mom then also ran their cattle ranch. And so we realized that it didn't really matter whether you're a guy or a gal. Cows need fed, and so I could stay home and take the kids along with me to check pastures and that kind of thing. So Dwayne is extremely supportive, and we were also joking in the hallway earlier. He works at a desk and does quite a bit of drive time, too, and sometimes when he comes home in the evening, all he wants to do is go outside and work and get sweaty, too. So we're very much partners, and it works extremely well. We have five kids, so I'm a mom, and our kids range in ages, and I'll have a picture of them in just a little bit for you, but they range in ages from 22 to 17, and we left our 17-year-olds home alone. Our boys are seniors in high school, and we don't really have a lot of chores for them to do right now. Everything's pretty easy right now, but if anything happens, they have a couple of phone calls that they can make because we can't help them from here. We're cattle ranchers. I'm the one that does take care of things day to day, checking pastures this time of year. But honestly, I have slaves right now. These boys are just absolutely awesome. And so as far as fixing fence and for the most part baling hay, unless it ends up being very, very late in the year like it is this year, I don't have to do an awful lot of that. I'm pretty lucky. But the reason that I'm here with you guys today is because I am a blogger, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I do to just connect with consumers. So this is our crew. Okay. This is them today. So like I said, they age from 22 to 17. Megan is closest to me here. She is now working for JBS out in Colorado, and we're really excited about her in the leadership trainee program. And then Allie is next in line on the far side. She's a junior at Kansas State University. The big tall redhead in the middle is a sophomore at Kansas State, and then the other two in the red and blue are our twins that are seniors in high school. But I want to tell you about these people. These people are who I think about when I blog. These people I call my inspiration. And they're not just some random good-looking family. They're actually relatives of ours. This gal that you see, the mom in this picture, is my husband's cousin's daughter. Everybody got that? I didn't say that slow because it's a little confusing. So my husband and all of his cousins were raised on the farm. And interestingly enough, we're the only ones that are still on the farm. But his cousin got married and moved to Topeka, Kansas, which is kind of sort of metropolitan, but it definitely is not urban or rural. It is much more urban. And she raised her kids. So this is her daughter. Her daughter is now married and has this. This is only four kids in the picture. She has five kids, and they live in Denver. So Shannon and her family like to come back to the farm because, of course, that's her roots, her family roots. They come back to the farm every summer, and they like to just play around on the farm. They like to ride four-wheelers. They like to go fishing in the farm ponds. They like to, pet the show cattle, just those kind of things, and kind of stay with their roots. But Shannon, one year, started asking me some really tough questions that I was absolutely amazed with. She was asking me about antibiotics in beef. And why do we use those? And should she avoid certain kinds of beef? She was asking me about hormones and milk. I also like to tell the story about how much milk we drink. My family is a huge milk drinker, and when Shannon's family is with us, I'm pouring out big glasses of milk for supper. Our biggest milk consumption in 1 week was 16 gallons of milk. Yeah, so I have two refrigerators in my kitchen, one for milk. But because I have to drive 30 miles to get my groceries. Anyway, so Shannon was asking me these really tough questions, and I said, Shannon, where do these questions come from? You were raised eating beef. You were raised drinking good milk. What's the story here? She said, well, the people in Denver that she is friends with, that she's raising her kids with, are telling her she has to buy specialty food products. She can't just go to the grocery store and fill her cart with milk in a plastic gallon. She has to buy organic beef. Okay, now I will tell you right off the bat, I am never, ever going to complain about organic, natural, any kind of specialty beef products. Those niche markets are amazing. And if that's what you raise, more power to you. Because if you're eating beef, or if these consumers are eating beef, I don't care what kind of beef they're eating. I will not knock to a consumer or to my buddies. I will never knock these other products. But guys, I raise traditional beef. And I call it traditional, not conventional, because this is the way we've been doing it for hundreds of years. All right, we feed cattle in a feed yard, and they are fed grain. They do get corn. They do go through those regular markets. We of course aim to have certified Angus beef carcasses at the end, but they're the basic kind of cattle. So I'm telling Shannon these things, and I want her to know, and I want her to feel comfortable that her friends in Denver are not right. But they need to be informed as well. So, okay, in 2009, the summer that Shannon was asking me these questions, the summer that she was really, truly wanting to know the questions about antibiotics and hormones in beef, she was on her way home. It's about an eight-hour drive home to Denver from White City. I had my first blog post written by the time she got home because I realized Shannon is one generation removed from the farm, and she doesn't know the answers to those questions. So how can I expect, they say people are 2 to 4 generations removed from the farm. They don't even have the opportunity to set foot on a farm like I provide for Shannon every year. So how can we expect them to know the answers to these questions? And it also made me think, this is important questions. As a mom, I want to do what's right for my family. I want to feed my kids good, safe, nutritious food. So does Shannon. She just wants to know what's the best beef because she likes beef and they want to feed it, but she's worried about what to do. So I realized then that I had to get started and I had to start advocating and connecting with those kind of people. So Shannon is my inspiration. She is the person I write for when I write on my blog. She's the person that I kind of keep in mind when I'm telling these stories, that I want to connect with this person. Honestly, like on social media, Twitter and Facebook and that kind of thing, if any of you, I know there's a few of you in here that are my Facebook friend, you'll notice I interact a little bit with farm people, but really, truly, a lot of my posts are specifically for moms that are not farm people. I want to connect with them. I want to talk about my kids with them. I want to talk about the things that are important to moms, but at the same time, slip in a little bit of information about beef. I'm going to hang on this slide because I also want to tell you that the conversation is changing since 2009. Back in 2009, we were telling our story. We needed to get out there and tell our story because the Humane Society of the United States and PETA were beating us up big time, weren't they? We're seeing all kinds of information about how we were doing things wrong. We were bad for animals. We were bad for the environment. And we really needed to get people out there and tell our story. Well, I'll tell you today, we've realized it's less and less about telling our story, and it's more and more about having a conversation. And there's a tremendous difference between those two. How many of you have Facebook? Raise your hand. How many of you unfriended somebody during the election season because they would not quit posting about their preferred candidate? I'm telling you what, it's the exact same thing, though. If all I posted about was agriculture and talking about beef and talking about how we raise cattle and talk only about the farm, I'm gone. Nobody wants to be my friend and listen to me only talk about cows. I read another blog somewhere that basically said people that are not involved in agriculture really don't care what happens on a farm day to day. Okay, they want to know that we're comfortable with it and they want to know that information, but they don't want to read a story about it every single day. So we have to connect with them on another level. I have to make my audience, pick my audience, and that's Shannon, and connect with her about raising kids. And connect with her about recipes that have nothing to do with beef. And connect with her about, like, education, things like that. And then also slip in beef. Here's an example Facebook post. So we're on our way to my boys' basketball game, which is during calving season. So I say, heading to the boys' basketball game, really excited tonight, think it'll be a great game, but I got to check heifers first. And if I have one in labor, I might miss the first quarter of the game. That's all I say. I'll tell you what, I get more comments on that. People asking me questions, why? Why do you have to stay? What do you mean she's in labor? What do you think is going on? So then I can respond back and we can go further from there. But basically I've told them my boys play basketball, right? Like everybody can talk about sports. And I then connect with them on that level. And then I also slip in just a little bit of beef advocacy at the same time. So I want to tell you, before we get going too deeply into the advocacy information, I want to tell you some good news, because, you know, all we hear is bad news. It's really easy to get defensive and get really, you know, worried about it. You hear lean, finely textured beef or pink slime. You hear that and you get really upset and you get really defensive. You hear that cattle are destroying the environment, and I feel like we get really defensive with that. But I want to tell you some good news. And first of all, except for a small number of activists, most consumers are just trying to do their best. Just like you and I. Really, truly, most of them are just like you and I. And I'm not going to change the mind of an activist, so I don't even try. But I might help one mom choose beef to feed her kids. If I make one mom question when she hears that farmers and ranchers are bad to their cattle, if I make her think, you know what? I saw a blog post one time of this gal that talked about how important cattle are, and she actually said she loves cows, that they are so cool. That information that they're bad to them can't be right. If I make her question one of those claims, then my job is done. I feel like I've made one connection, and that's what matters to me. And it's easy to do that. And research shows that 95% of consumers trust farmers and ranchers to provide a safe, wholesome food supply. 95% trust us. It's that 5% that are probably the activists that are going to poke us and say bad things about us. So basically what I'm telling you with that one is almost everybody trusts you. Almost everybody wants to hear what you have to say. And everybody's heard this. In the past 30 years, the global population has doubled while the number of farmers and ranchers has been cut in half. So we're now less than 2% of the population. I want to point out one thing, too. We talk about how farmers and ranchers are really, really important to our society, and of course we are. But are we any more important than the people that work in a water treatment facility? Are we any more important than the people that make tires for my car? Are we any more important than the people who teach our kids? No, we're not. And I'll tell you, that's why you'll never see me do a promotion that says, thank a farmer. Thank you, teachers. Thank you, people who served my water today. Thank you, people who grow coffee. Okay, guys, it's important that we remember that there's an awful lot of people out there that keep a society going. We're important in that whole society. But if we try to put ourselves above that society, in their eyes, that shuts us down. So we've got to be one of them. We've got to say, we are doing our best for you. What's your job? How do you help me? Because whatever they do, it impacts me too. So we've got to try to connect with them and not put ourselves above them. Be the same. Make connections. All right, I do want to talk about advocating, and I do want to talk about social media specifically. We're going to talk a little bit later about some other things, but I'd like to show you this quick video about the power of social media. Okay, so they really want you to buy this book now after that. But the power with this, though, I think, is that it really tells you about the reach of social media, the amount of people that you can reach through social media, and that's anything on the internet. That's not texting. That is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest. You could stumble upon all these. There's tons and tons and tons of ways to connect with people through social media. I know a number of you are out here saying, that's not for me. I'm not going to start trying to connect through social media. That's fine. But please encourage the people who can connect through social media because of the numbers of people that you can reach, the sheer numbers. I really like the one that talks about YouTube and the way that people find out information for you, they type in. Used to be if I wanted to write a paper when I was a kid, I wanted to write a paper on dinosaurs, let's say, okay, my topic in fourth grade. All right, so I pulled out the Encyclopedia Britannica and looked up Tyrannosaurus Rex and figured out and reworded it, you know, so that I could write that. Now, what do? They type it into the computer and they say, where is Tyrannosaurus Rex? What is? And they just get it off the internet. Does that mean it's right? No, it doesn't. You have to watch your sources, but that's where kids are getting their information. Wikipedia has done a play on the encyclopedia, but do you know who writes Wikipedia? You do. Everybody. That's exactly right. You guys do. So if you want to put in a thing about what is something, what is a word that you want to coin or that you've heard word and it's not out there in Wikipedia, you go on and you submit your own definition for it and they'll look it over and they'll approve it and it's yours. I mean, it's written by all of us. So you go on Wikipedia and kids think that Wikipedia is an encyclopedia that it's got great information. It doesn't necessarily. I like to tell the story about my kid was writing at the end of the school year. He had to write a paper. I can't remember if this was for a college class, but it was in high school. It might have been a college class he was taking. They had to use 10 sources. None of them had to be a book. So they could use all online sources for this research paper that was due at the end of the year. That's great, and that's scary, I think. The information is out there. We have to present and get our part of it out there and be able to answer questions and make sure it's good information that's out there. I also want to point out one thing. So if you ever want to use a YouTube video in a speech, you can't, there's no download button. There's no way to just save a video, somebody else's video, but it's free. I mean, you can do it. But guess how I found out how to do it? I asked YouTube how to do it, and there's like 100 videos on how to save a video off of YouTube. I'm serious. It's all out there. Okay, so this is my blog. My blog is what I call the center of my advocacy universe, and everything else is the orbiting planet. So my blog is the sun. This is what I spend the most of my time and energy on, and everything else is kind of periphery. This is a recent post that I did after the National Junior Angus Show. This is my kids, and it's an awful little picture, but my son is wearing a kilt, and I loved it. I thought that was hilarious. And then you probably can't see it. You may have to check this out later, but there's a little Angus bull there with ears. Flexing his muscles with no shirt on, that's Quanah Gardner. It was awesome. Anyway, so I post all kinds of things on my blog. There's the address for it, kansascattleranch.blogspot.com. I try to post weekly. I don't want to post too much because, honestly, the kind of people that read my blog don't want to read about a farm life every single day of the week. So if I post more than once a week, I feel like that's bonus if I've got more things that I can say. But frankly, since I've been posting for a long time, I find I've got about 3 or 4 posts on freeze branding. I've got a number of posts about blizzards, dealing with feeding cattle in a blizzard and, you know, things like that. So as I keep going through the years, I'm going to start hitting new, you know, same posts, different tweaks on those posts and stuff. So I don't feel like I need to be writing multiple posts. This is something, though, that has been very, very popular for me, and that is sharing recipes. It seems like, especially, I just shared one, a current one, about a back-to-school recipe that we tried out. The Kansas Beef Council sent me this recipe and asked if I would try it out and then review it on my blog. And it's hit a lot of good views on that. And to me, this is my opportunity to tell what I do. This is the telling your story part. But then the other thing that you'll see on there is that green box that says, ask me a question. So I went to the South Dakota cattle producers, and I bought beef bucks. And those beef bucks are good dollar for dollar in either a restaurant or a grocery store to buy beef. So I give away, if somebody has a really good question, or if I've gotten like 5 or 10 questions in a week, I'll draw a name and I'll just send them $5 in beef bucks. Okay, now that's not going to buy them a lot of beef, but it's a giveaway, and they love it. That's just something quick and easy. So if they click on that, ask me a question, they go to a specific place that they can ask me a question, and I'll try to answer that. That also kind of directs me as to what people are wanting, what people are talking about right now. And some of the questions have been really good and really hard-hitting. So then I use Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest. Those are my main three. And I don't know if any of you are on any of all of those, but you're welcome to follow me, and I'll follow you back. But frankly, I won't interact with you an awful lot because you're not my target audience. I'm not going to make you guys eat more beef. But that's the way that I promote my blog. So I'll write a blog post. I do have a degree in ag journalism, and so writing comes easy for me. So I'll write a blog post once a week, take me about a half an hour, and I do sit down at my desk to write a blog post because doing it on my phone is not so easy. But then the first thing I do is I copy the link to that blog post into a little shortener program that shortens, because you'll go kansascattleranch.blogspot.com/ and then the name and blah, 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 blah. So I'll shorten it down into a short link, and then I'll copy that and put it into my phone. Then I'll go out. I'm either driving around this time of year, checking pastures, taking mineral out, and I've got my phone with me. And I will then get on Twitter and Facebook and connect with people, sending out that blog post to them all day long. All day long. I am not sitting down doing nothing. I'm just off and on, you know. I'm driving into a pasture. I open the gate. I'm sitting there for a minute or two, just kind of chilling with my dog. I'll tweet. If I'm on the tractor, I love telling this story. So I told him last night about driving our baler, and we just put net wrap on our baler. So when I'm on the tractor, I'll be tweeting constantly if I'm baling, specifically because that when we had twine wrap, ding, 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 it takes forever to wrap that twine. I can get 2 or 3 tweets written. I can connect with a lot of people within that time. Now that it's net wrap, though, I can't even get 1 tweet written in that time. So it's a little bit difficult when you upgrade me, Dwayne, and I have to deal with that. But so I actually, the kids asked me the other day, were you having a problem? You were just sitting there after you dumped that bale. I said, no, I was tweeting. Sorry. But anyway, so I'll post pictures from the tractor. I'll post pictures from the swather. Whatever I'm doing, I'm posting pictures and also connecting to that link all day long, all the time, even though I didn't write a new blog post that day. So I also want to tell you, though, too, blogging is not for everybody. I have a really good friend. Her name is Barb Downey. Y'all know her probably. She is an absolutely awesome advocate for agriculture. One day, she was telling me a story about how she donated a half a beef to the local food pantry. And she said, you know, farmers and ranchers do that all the time. We are so good about charity. They, you know, in one of the studies, the same one that showed that 95% of consumers trust us, the same thing showed that a huge number of farmers and ranchers donate money or goods to a large number of different charities, whether it's a church or a food pantry or whatever. We're extremely charitable. She said, I want to get this movement going. I want people to know that that's what we do. I said, Barb, write me a blog post. Tell me about what you did. Tell me why you did it. And then we used a hashtag on Twitter, which is just a keyword. It's just a search word. And we called it Give Beef. It was a Give Beef campaign. So we went all over Twitter. So people who follow us, we're able to tell, oh, well, we gave beef, too. We give it to the local, Dwayne and I give to the after prom party. We give hamburger patties so that they don't have to go out and buy hamburger patties to serve their tailgate feed. Okay, rather than giving money, we give beef. So we're telling all those kind of things. I said, Barb, write me a blog post. So she started one evening. She goes, okay, I have time tonight. So she went home, wrote a blog post. And then she edited it. And then she edited it again. And then she had her husband edit it. And then she made a few more changes. And then she called me and she says, Deb, I just don't know. It's getting close, but can I send it to you and have you read it? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. So she sent it to me and I posted it. I'm like, Barb, dang, you can't agonize. You can't. She is an awesome writer, and it was probably great at the first version, but she just wanted those commas in the right place. And tell you what, you can't be a blogger and do that. You got to be able to just get it done. If it's going to take you hours and hours and hours to write a blog post, blogging is not the way for you to go. But there are so many other ways to advocate. Barb is an advocate in marathons. She lost half of her body weight by eating beef and running marathons. Yeah, she's totally nuts, and she's my best buddy. She runs a marathon with a jersey on that says Team Zip, and it's got a great big steak on the back. She said that serves wonderful, two wonderful purposes. One, she's running along, and she's got this steak on the back, and some skinny little greenie comes up behind her, and she can't let him pass her. She's got to stay ahead of him. But they also ask her questions. They say, do you really eat beef? Or is that just, are you paid to wear the shirt? And she's like, absolutely, yes, I'm a cattle rancher. So she can tell them right then about beef while she's running a marathon. She also says they ask her what she eats to fuel up before a race. And you know, you're supposed to carb up, right? She says, yes, you do have to carb up, but you also need protein for extended energy. Because if you can't have that sustained energy, about the 20th mile, you are out of it. So she said she eats beef. Also, immediately after a race, we pick her up and we immediately take her to eat a steak. It's what she wants. She tells them that. She is an amazing advocate. So I want to give you some other options about things that you can do to advocate that I've done. Maybe it'll get your juices flowing. Maybe it'll get you thinking, and maybe you can share with us some other ideas too. So let me just show you what I've done. These are farm and ranch tours. We like to have people just come out and just talk to them about the area. If you were on the National Angus Tour last year, you were actually in this pasture. This is my sister's pasture, and it is absolutely gorgeous. And you know that when we had it, they worked cattle on horse, and they had all their cowboys bring on horseback the cow herd up to us. And you know, even as farm people, we were pretty impressed with those cows being able to just walk straight to busloads of people. Think of what that does to people who aren't around cows every day. They go out in those grasses, and they're absolutely amazed with these grasses. Number one, that they are the grass that was there in the beginning of time. We tell that story. And then here come the cows, that they bring them up to them like that. That makes a tremendous impact. We've had another friend of mine has school kids come out every single year that she will just bring them out. She says the most fun that they had was running them through the chute. These are like third graders. And she says, let's see what it's like, everybody. So that she opens up the tub and just runs the kids through the chute, and they just love it. It's just crazy. But of course, she has to have it kind of sort of cleaned up for them. But it's a situation that those kids never, ever get the opportunity to set foot on a farm any other way. So it's an awesome opportunity. Farm and ranch tours, any of you can do that. School presentations are way cool. This is an older one that I did a few years ago with when my kids were still in school. They're standing in the background there. This is the entire White City fourth grade class. It's a very small town that we live in. And you probably can't see, but each one of those kids is holding up a beef byproduct. So we take an old show heifer and her baby calf, and we take a whole table full of things that come from beef that are not beef. And show these kids what we get from beef. So we've got a kid holding crayons. We've got a kid holding felt, which is from hair. We've got a kid, of course, holding a leather football, which is called a pigskin, but it's actually cowhide. We've got leather belts. We've got gummy worms. Oh, my gosh, that's so freaked out kids, that the gelatin from the cattle goes into making gummy worms. And at first they were pretty grossed out, but then we gave them gummy worms afterwards. They all ate them, so... So then we take a picture of these kids holding all of these beef byproducts, and they're absolutely amazed. We tell them that the streets we drive on have stearic acid in the asphalt, and that comes from cattle. We tell them that the rubber in our tires has stearic acid from cattle. They are amazed how far-reaching. I don't actually point out to them that it's almost impossible to be a vegetarian, but I think they get the point. They get the opportunity to see how many things that we use every single day that comes from livestock, specifically cattle. Another program that I want to tell you about is way cool, too. It's kind of a new thing that I've done the last couple of years, and I really want to do a better job of it this next year. We called it Adopt a Rancher. And I adopted two classrooms, a second grade classroom in a nearby town about 30 miles away, and then a classroom in Illinois. And what I did was I sent them originally a letter. Of course, I coordinated with the teacher ahead of schedule. I sent them originally a letter to kind of introduce myself, to tell them who I am, and that we would be communicating all year long. If you guys can remember back to the day when you had a second grader, that's the time that they're learning to write letters. So for like every other month, the kids would all write me a letter and ask me questions. And then I would respond to them either with a letter and pictures or with a little video clip that I could just email to the teacher. Or one time we Skyped the classroom. So that's online face-to-face video talking to each other. So the kids are seeing me up on a screen like this in their classroom talking to them. And that was absolutely awesome. The reason that I tell you about school presentations specifically is the HSUS is really good at these.